Hey everybody, Simon Rettner here. Welcome to The Checkout. It's also a podcast you can get on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, produced at WBGO in Newark. What you're listening to right now, Guanu Day, a traditional song performed by Jeremy Dutcher, the Polaris Prize winner from Canada, who is amplifying the songs of his First Nation people. While the Me Too and Black Lives Matter movements have shaped the debate here in the United States, our neighbor, Canada, is going through its own kind of cultural awakening and moment of reckoning. And it's artists like rising star Jeremy Dutcher who are giving his mistreated Indigenous population a voice through music. In fact, three of the last four recipients of the Polaris Prize, which is the highest honor that can be bestowed to a contemporary Canadian musician, have gone to artists who are reclaiming their Indigenous heritage. And in the case of Dutcher, who is a self-taught pianist with classical vocal training, he's revitalizing that music and the traditions of his Wolastoq people. There are only 100 or so people left who speak his Wolastoq language. He's one of them. And so those cultural traditions are in danger of being lost forever. And for the last 5 years, Dutcher has committed himself to bringing a spotlight to his music, his ancestors, first by dusting off some folkloric field recordings he discovered made 110 years ago. Those crackling recordings provided the framework for Dutcher's new critically acclaimed recording, an album that adopts his First Nation melodies and reimagines them in a contemporary setting. We're going to talk to Jeremy Dutcher all about that as he prepares for his performance at Mundial Montreal, that's North America's World Music Summit, coming to the Church of Jésus in Montreal on November 15th. This is The Checkout. I'm Simon Rettner. Brings me great pleasure to welcome, may I say, the hottest musical export to come from our neighbors, Canada, Jeremy Dutcher. He's a singer, songwriter, classically trained, but singing the music of his people. I don't know if you want to call it Indigenous, First Nation, Aboriginal. What is the term to refer to the people, your people, Jeremy Dutcher?
Yeah, we can call it a lot of things, but what I call it is a deep engagement with the musical traditions of the Wolastoq. That's the name that we call ourselves, and in our language it means the people of the beautiful river. And that river that we're talking about, that all of our communities are based in, is one that actually starts in the St. Lawrence Gulf in Quebec and travels down through the province of New Brunswick, not New Brunswick, New Jersey, but the other New Brunswick, and finds its way into the Atlantic Ocean, but also passes through Maine as well. And, as has been said before, we did not cross the border. The border crossed us.
Jeremy Dutcher, you're sort of the toast of the town in Canada right now. You're coming to the Mundial Montreal, North America's World Music Summit, November 13th through the 16th. You're going to be performing a concert there on November 15th, I believe, at the Jésus, where I saw you at the Montreal Jazz Festival last summer in just an absolutely riveting fashion, which convinced me that I needed to talk to you right now. Other than playing the Montreal Jazz Festival, is there anything that you consider to be jazz about what you're doing?
Yeah, it's a very interesting question, and I guess it really cuts to the core of what we're calling jazz music, but certainly what Mingus and Monk and Miles understood was that jazz music is, I think, taking people music and letting it be free. What I think this record does is just that, is taking the music of my people, of my nation, and freeing it and letting it expand and live in a different way than it's traditionally been heard, you know. So what, you know, the founders of jazz were doing were taking those songs, those field songs, you know, and those blues tunes and turning them into freedom. And maybe that's what this does too. Really, the whole point of this work was to take these old archival recordings that were done by this anthropologist over 110 years ago. And they were sort of sitting in that museum in the National Archive there. And the whole point of this album and of this work was to transfer that knowledge and that beauty that sits within that archive back to our people. Because for me, that's where it always belongs. I would say, you know, non-Indigenous people, they're welcome to come and witness this work. But fundamentally, it is for my people. What's great about this music in this record is I've sort of intentionally written it to live in many spaces. It can be presented as a jazz festival or at a folk festival or at a classical music festival, and that was a very intentional choice for me. And it's also just a confluence of my identity and what I love about music is that music is the great connector. And for me, you know, as somebody who was raised in our traditional songs and really had a deep understanding of that from an early age, but also, you know, went to classical music school and studied as an operatic tenor, but also somebody who loves jazz music and is a great appreciator of pop music and dance music. And so you're going to find all of those influences on this record. And so I hope it's a rather eclectic blend that's going to connect with people.
Let's get deep into these archival recordings. I love this kind of stuff. I mean, there's several samples that you use from these archival recordings. Jim Paul, is that was his name?
Well, that's one of them. So this anthropologist, he went and he lived among our people for about 7 years, actually, and so collected stories and songs from you know, not just my community, but communities all up and down the Wollastook River. And so Jim Paul is one of those people. And on the track Mejinod, which is the first track on the record, we actually get to hear his voice. For me to have those voices like very visible and on the record, that was really important. And there was something fundamental to this exercise that I'm partaking in putting those voices forefront and being able to dialogue with them and sing in conversation with them. And when I'm able to do that, I feel there's a collapsing of the past and the present.
Tell us what the song is, what it's about, what are the lyrics?
It's called Mejinod. That is actually it's a death chant. I was just meeting with some elders at the university, visiting our neighbors. So we're Wolustawiyig, and right beside us in Nova Scotia is the Mi'kmaq people. And they said, that song, mention it. I think we have the lyrics for that. Because, you know, I've been going around being like asking my own elders from my community saying, can you figure out what he's saying on this? Like, I it's sort of unclear to me. And they said, oh, yeah, that sounds like an old word. We don't really say that like that anymore. And they said, there's a relation in our language. So the lyric for that song is, Yani Guedo, Aline Yani Guedo. And I could never really figure out the direct translation for that. And they said, there's a word in our language that's very, very similar to that. And it means he or she has stopped growing. And they actually use it too to talk about corn. Funny enough, he or she, he has stopped growing, or the work has been done. And so when we talk about a death chant, that's sort of that idea. And then at the end of that archive, he has this speech about, even though their bodies are done growing, their spirits will always be with us on this earth. And so for me, there's that idea of, even though it's a death chant, the music is actually quite celebratory. There's a sense of life in it, and I wanted to make it that. So for me, it's about complicating that idea of the finality of death and talking about rebirth through that and the continuation of our traditions and of everything that has gone on, you know, all in the face of these policies and really the attempted genocide of our peoples on this continent. We're still singing, we're still dancing, and we're still here.
How old do you think this melody is, essentially?
Even though we don't have, per se, like written documentation about, you know, this song was penned in, you know, 1320 or something, you know, what was clear from going and reading this anthropologist's notes was he was talking sort of about how these songs get passed down. Even though these are recorded in the early 1900s, around 1907, this anthropologist talks about this song specifically was gifted to the singer by their grandmother. And was gifted to that grandmother by their grandmother. And so you see there's this lineage of generational passing down of oral tradition and of song that it's really impossible to know, but it's just sort of this spiral of continuum that happens with our music that hasn't been captured really. I got to do a gig with an orchestra here in Canada, and we scored out this music because, you know, I'm a very much improvisational creator. So I don't really score my music until the very end. And what I realized is that with that song on the first page of the score, it's giving about 12 different time signatures, you know? Yeah. And so that for me is the conflict or the clash of cultures, and that our music does not fit into that sort of newer way of codifying music or of scoring music. It's much more fluid than that and complicated than that.
Jeremy Dutcher joins us on the checkout, a rising star in Canada and doing amazing work of his First Nation people, bringing back the language single-handedly almost, at least bringing attention to his people single-handedly as the winner of the Polaris Award, the most prestigious, basically, award that is given to a modern contemporary musician in Canada. This language that you're singing in and celebrating your people is only spoken by 100 people. And here you are, what I would presume, you're like one of those 100 people that can sort of speak this language and understand this language, yet even your own community can't exactly get the definition of the lyrics of this song. You're exemplifying how the language is dying in real time.
But for me, it is that, but it's also about futurism too, and shining a guiding light, I hope, for other young people from my Wolastoq Nation to say, hey, this is possible. We have a written language. It was all oral up until about 20 or 30 years ago. And so we have a dictionary. It's an online dictionary too, which is incredible and searchable. And you know, we have apps to help in language learning now. And, you know, so there's immersion schools that are happening in our territory. The tools are there because a lot of the fluent speakers are living in that older generation, right? And so the knowledge is all within that language. And if the young people don't start to wake up and consider the importance, and, you know, this is not to say that I'm the only one doing this work. There's so many incredible people on the ground that are doing this work of linguistic revitalization. And so I'm just sort of plugging into that in a musical way. I have a lot of actually hope for our language, even though we're at a very precarious place right now. It's impossible for it to be lost totally. You know, there's a lyric in the second song called Asunige, and it's saying Wulit Bistamania Lintoltin and Gamanuagana Kladewaganin. So that means listen up, people. We have to sing and save our language for the ones yet to come. I really do feel that the language is guiding how we are to be with each other. Calling the earth Kachigigawasan, which means the great mother. You know, when we start to recognize the world around us in that way, that we have sprung from this place and it is our duty. We would not treat our mother the way we treat this earth. You know, so it is our duty to come to an understanding, a better understanding of how to live in this world. And for me, that happens through the language.
Cool. Well, let's listen to that second track from your album. I'll let you say the name of it again, if you don't mind.
So this track is the second track off the record, and it's called Aswanige. It means let's trade.
Jeremy Dutcher coming to Mundial Montreal, North America's World Music Summit, November 15th at the Jesus Center. And this year, the Mundial has themed this eighth installment, the mosaic music, basically celebrating multiculturalism in Canada. But what's more interesting to me is the reawakening, the revalorization of First Nation people, Indigenous music and culture in Canada, kind of in the way that the Me Too movement and Black Lives Matter movement controlled the debate here in the United States. But we're still neglecting our Native people. This debate and this cultural awakening hasn't come to the United States.
Yeah, I will say that I think in Canada we are a little further along in the conversation around Indigenous issues. Certainly what we're seeing in Canada, there was a political movement that really went out in front, you know. It started as a movement in the western part of Canada in this province called Saskatchewan. And there were these four women. It's called Idle No More. Really, when we talk about Idle No More, it was about injecting our issues into the public discourse in a way that they hadn't really been before. And so what that looked like, it looked like Indigenous people taking up space in public and saying, these are our issues and they need to be addressed because for so long they have been ignored. And so we have these things called a round dance. And it was this is a very crude comparison, but like a flash mob, where people would get together in shopping malls or anywhere where people gathered and just dance together to sing music and to sing our songs and to bring a level of consciousness to Indigenous issues in this country. And so that movement was started by these four women in Saskatchewan, but permeated outwards across the country. You know, there were highway blockades. There was a lot of really powerful political movements. I guess at the ethos of it was, you're not going to look away from this anymore. For so long, you know, that was the whole reservation system is based on that idea of out of sight, out of mind. And it happened in the States and it also happened here in Canada, where we knew how to live on the land. We picked the best land. You know, we lived by the water. Of course, this was how we lived. And as soon as settlement came and Europeans came to this continent, they decided that, you know, this land should not be ours and that we ought to be relocated into patches of less desirable land. And so this reservation system was created and people were fenced in and quite through laws, you know, this is up until, you know, quite recently, Indigenous people had to get permission to leave the reserve from the Indian agent, who is the government official in the community, and even to go outside or to compete in commerce or any of these things. So these laws have all held back our people, and the reservation system is putting our communities out of cities and out of public space. Has created an invisibility of Indigenous issues, not just in Canada, but also in the States too. And so what Idle No More did was it said, we're not taking this anymore. We're going into your space and we're showing who we are. And we are going to reckon with what has happened in this country and everything that has led to the dire situation that our people are in. This political movement is certainly not starting with me. I'm entering this conversation as a young, you know, I'm 27 years old. I'm not starting any conversations. I'm simply plugging into the continuum of what has gone before, you know, and, you know, I look to artists like Buffy St. Marie. When the young woman old, when the young... Sometimes you got to take a stand. Just because you think you can, you got to run, you got to run. She's an incredible Indigenous songstress who's been doing really outstanding political work since the 60s. So, you know, I root myself in the space that was created by them. You know, others blew down the door. I just walked through it.
Well, I have to say your timing is rather perfect, Jeremy, because four of the last five artists, as I understand it, for the Polaris specifically, have gone to First Nation or Indigenous artists. That'd be like four out of five Native American as four out of five winning like best album of the year in the Grammys or something. Like, this is how radical of a difference it is here in the United States and in Canada, and just why this is such an interesting story in general.
In this Polaris speech that I gave when I won, I talked about this idea of an Indigenous Renaissance. And I really do feel like that is the case, that I think we are coming, in this country anyway, to a level of consciousness, understanding that Indigenous people need to be centered because we have such a relationship to this place, and our narratives and our stories have not been heard for so long. And so I think it's about time that they come to the fore. And I think also Indigenous music, we're creating at the confluence of so many different things, of past, present, and future, of land, and all of these things are in our music. And so the more that non-Indigenous people are certainly welcome to engage with that, the richer the dialogue can be around the issues and what needs to come forward in order to turn this damn ship around, because we're not living in a good way on this land. And we're not loving each other in a good way either. And so I think the messages of retribution and of love are what come through the music of Indigenous people. And I think sonically also, we're creating some of the music that's pushing narrative forward and combining these genres that maybe in the past have had no business speaking to each other. And yet in that conversation comes new worlds of sonic possibility.
I just want you to just break down selections here on this record real quick. The penultimate track on your album that starts with a Q, how do you say that?
I would say that Guanude.
There you go. So I'm glad I didn't even attempt it. This song in particular, I hear a blue note. I almost hear the blues in this. What is this song?
Guanude is a welcome song. I really do feel like it's a landing place. We've come through talking about the celebratory and how we are to live with each other, talking about water rights, you know, and it's taking us through all of that journey. And then finally, once we're on the same page, we then say welcome. We haven't been on the same page in this country. And I don't even think we've been reading out of the same book. So now that we're at least in the same book, once we finally flip to the same page and we're finally reading on that same page together, then we can finally welcome people in.
I mean, do you hear what I'm talking about in terms of the blues? Or what is that? How...
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just the peculiarity of how I play the piano. I never took a piano lesson in my life, and so I create music at the confluence of what I know and what I love. And so, yeah, for sure, there's so many harmonies that maybe don't fit within the genre of classical or neoclassical or even traditional music. These are notes that live in my body in a way that have come to me, yeah, certainly through the beautiful tones of jazz or of blues or any of the kind of music that affects me too and helps me tell my story. And so to honor that and to bring those sort of dissonances forward, that's important too. So I'm glad you picked up on that. And that for me is a song about what's to come and dreaming about the future of a new relationship. And sometimes it's messy and sometimes there's blue notes and sometimes we're not going to get along, but it's all to a resolution. And that resolution is the final song, which is a love song.
Let's go to track 5, which is just a drumming track. What meter is this, and how many meters are there, and why does it sound like Afro-Cuban music to me?
Yeah. That one totally befuddled me when I first heard that archive. It's called a Kiddawissimi Eagle, which means "Are you thirsty?" And it's actually it's a drinking song. And what I wanted to do with this track was really not touch it. And so we added a little bit of percussion to layer it, but otherwise it's just strictly the archive and what is heard. So that, like, the big beat that you're hearing as the downbeat and everything's sort of moving around that. I've actually come to understand that that beat is a skip in the Wax Cylinder recording. And so it's not actually a part of the beat, but it provides such a rhythmic foundation for the whole thing. And so it creates this, like, sort of polyrhythm that I think is, it was, when I first heard it, I was like, whoa, I didn't know our music could sound like that.
Jeremy Dutcher joins us on the checkout. We're going to wrap things up with him. And you do all the arranging, too, and write all the orchestrations on this recording?
A lot of the orchestrations, in terms of, like, a physical score, came a bit later. But for me, yeah. It was about writing these string parts out. And that was an important juncture for me to blend my classical music training and background into people music, into the music of my people. My elder who started this process, who told me about the Wax Cylinders about 5 years ago, she said, you know, when I hear our music, when I hear those old songs, I hear symphonies. And I was like, me too. So it was my greatest hope was to take her dream and what she heard in her head and to make that a reality on this record. And I think I did that.
And what is this final track?
That's Oltestagen, which means it's the Shaker song, but it's actually a lullaby. I had a really beautiful experience, actually. The first time I went in and performed these in a live context back in my territory among my people, I had this old woman come up to me. She says, that lullaby that you sang, that I know that one. My grandmother used to sing that to me every night before I went to bed. And she's been gone for a long time and I haven't heard that. But when you sang that and when you brought that voice back, she was with me. And so for me, that's what this music can do. It brings people back. It connects. And it lifts spirits up. And so that is my greatest hope with this work, is to let people connect with what has been lost and what has been taken. And we're taking it back.
Jeremy Dutcher on his critically acclaimed new recording. We thank him so much for joining us today and sharing this beautiful music. All of our shows are archived on our website at wbgo.org, checkoutjazz.org, and you can subscribe to it as well. Get it downloaded to your phone on Stitcher and iTunes. While you're there, give us a review. And we're on social media. Follow us at Checkout Jazz. That's our Twitter handle. The Checkout from WBGO on Facebook. Simon Rettner, that's me, on Instagram. I'd like to give a special thanks to our production intern, Anthony Nieves. And also a special thanks to Don Monroe at the CBC for making this conversation possible. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rettner. Thanks for checking us out.